God has done some really awesome things in our lives and in our church, in this community in 2025, but he's got some awesome things in store for 2026 in Jesus' name. And as our video proclaimed, our word for the year last year was believe. Many of you just took that year and you just really believed God for big things, miracles, life change, things that needed to happen, and God came through. And now, this is the year to go. Go. Just look at your neighbor and say, it's time to go. Not time to leave the building. It's time. But it's time. It is time to go. And we're going to talk about that here in just a few moments here about all that that means. But I just want to just make just a couple quick announcements here. First of all, I just want to highlight something that happened at the end of the year in 2025. On Christmas Eve, we took a Christmas Eve offering, and this was to go towards the Teen Challenge Center that is going to be opening up here in the Wausau area. And I want you to know we raised, you helped raise $2,000. Can you give yourselves a hand for that offering? And we will probably be more connected with the Wausau Teen Challenge program coming up. But also, just so thankful for your generosity for the Wausau Homeless Shelter Christmas tree. Many of you gave above and beyond, and we were just able to bless our community through that. Here's a picture of everything that was given. So give yourselves a hand for that. So we've seen a lot of growth in 2025 in our church, numerical growth. And so we've been taking some time and praying and planning about the idea of moving to a second service. And so we are going to, if you just put it on your calendar, we are going to be moving to a second service on Sunday, February 8th. Isn't that exciting news? That's exciting news. We have not yet set the times just yet, but we will keep you informed on that. But I just want you to know, we look at this as an opportunity. How many of you, you just like opportunities? Here's the opportunity that I see here. First of all, I see an opportunity to provide more space. It's been getting more crowded in the auditorium, and we just feel like before it becomes overcrowded, we want to make a move on it. We want to make a move. So this will give more opportunity for more space. Second of all, it is going to provide kingdom growth. Because our word for the year is to go into all the world and to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ into our world. We believe that many are going to come in and get saved and transformed in Jesus' name. Are you into that this morning? And that's going to happen. But also, it is an opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to serve. You see, I don't know if you ever noticed, but we got these three words on the wall here. This is our strategy for the church. We want to connect people to Jesus. We want to help them grow in their faith journey. But we know growth happens when growth happens. People are created to serve. Everybody say serve. Yes, and so I just believe that your faith really, really comes alive. You become more fulfilled in your faith journey when you're serving. And we believe that this is going to be an opportunity for you to serve in the church. It's going to open up more opportunities, and you're going to hear more about that in the coming weeks as we move forward to this second service. And the third thing here, our vision meeting. Every year, this time of year, we have a vision meeting. At this time of year, the first Sunday of the year, we announce that it is going to be on February 1st. So we give you like 5 weeks to prepare for that. And we want you to know in this business meeting, this is where we talk about the finances of the church. And we just kind of give God praise for everything that happened in 2025 and give you vision for 2026. But also in this meeting, we have a chili cook-off. If you're new to this church, we have a chili cook-off, and we have a dessert cook-off, and we just make it into a fun day. So if you'll just be prepared for that Sunday on February 1st. For those who are, this is important, for those who are members of the church, We always kind of talk about the business of the church. And if you have any new items that you want to bring to the attention of this meeting, you need to turn that question or that information into us 1 week prior to February 1st. So you have some time to think about any of the questions. And what this does, a lot of times we can just go ahead and answer the question for you in advance. But if you do have questions or any new business that you want to bring to the congregation, please do that before, a week before. And then last of all, we're excited about, in this vision meeting, we are going to be bringing on a new candidate, or our new person for our elder board. We have an elder board here at the church. And so there is a gentleman who has been serving here for 3 years, Al Fletcher. Wave your hand, Al. Al has been serving for 3 years. We appreciate your leadership, servant leadership. And so his term has come to an end, and we have talked about, and we are nominating a gentleman by the name of Nick Bancic. Nick, we raise your hand. We have a picture of he and his wife. And so you, as members of the board, or of the church, you will be voting on that. So if you have any questions for Nick, feel free to talk to him, and you will be glad that you did. So we're excited about this new year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. God has great things ahead. And as I announced already, the word for the year for this church is go. The word go, it's an action word. It is a get up and get moving word. It is a forward motion word. It is a commissioning word. That word commission means to be given an assignment. You see, that's what Jesus did to us. That's what he has done for us when he gave us this thing called the Great Commission. How many of you ever heard of that? The Great Commission. Some of you are like, what does that word commission mean? It means you have been handed a mission. He has literally taken a baton and said, hey, I've been running with this baton, and now what I'm doing is I'm handing this baton off to you. Can all of you guys just put your hand out like this right now? If you're a Jesus follower, he has handed the baton off to you. Just receive that baton. And what he has said to his disciples and what he has said to me, he says, I want you to go. Everybody say, go. I want you to go into all of the world. And somebody be like, I'm supposed to take a road trip all around? No. What if you just go into your world? What if you just go into your world, and then you go into your world, and you go into your world, and you go into your world, and all of a sudden we kind of get the world kind of covered a little bit when we go into our world. And he says, I want you to preach the good news. Now, another word for preach, everybody's like, I don't like to get in front of a lot of people and stuff like that. What if you just share? What if you just shared the good news to everyone? Anyone, here's what he says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. It means life change will happen. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So again, Jesus tells us we're on a mission. You're on a mission. So we do this on a yearly basis, and we're planning on 2 missions trips in year 2026. But I tell everybody, when we go on our missions trip, we just went to Moldova, the country of Moldova, and all throughout the trip, I would say, hey, oh, by the way, your life is a missions trip. Did you know you're on a missions trip right now? Look at your neighbor and say, did you know you're on a missions trip? Because I didn't know that. I didn't know. Your life is a mission trip. And again, Jesus is handing the baton off to you. Because his life, wouldn't you agree, his life was a mission trip. He was living out a mission. And he says, now I'm handing that mission off to you, and you need to run this race. And this mission, listen to me, this mission is a mission of life change. Did you hear everything that Jesus said in this passage? He says, anyone, that means anyone's got a chance. Anyone and everyone who believes will be saved. life change. Life change. People heal, people set free in Jesus' name. But then he says, but those, anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Do you see that there are souls on the line with this great commission? How many of you are glad right now that somebody told you about Jesus? How many of you are glad that somebody took the great commission and they took it seriously? They took the baton and they ran with it and they told you about Jesus. Jesus tells us to go and share. So some of you are like, well, wait a minute, preach. I'm not very good at, I'm not a good preacher. But what if we were just to share with our words? What if this? What if we were to just tell people our story? Because a lot of people are like, I don't know what to say. But what if you tell them your story? On Christmas Eve, and I wish we could have shown it again today, but they gave there's four or five people who shared their testimony. How many of you remember on Christmas Eve? It was very compelling. And you know what they did? They were sharing with us the message of Jesus. They were just saying, hey, listen, I don't know all the scripture verses, but this is what Jesus did for me. But not only if we share with our words, but what if we shared with our life? What if we took God's word seriously and we just made the decision, I'm going to the best of my ability, I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to do my best to live out Jesus to the rest of the world. I'm believing that in this new year, as we pick up this mission to go, that thousands are going to be impacted. I don't know how many are in this room, 200-ish, two, maybe 250 that are in this room. But what if? What if each and every one of you, you received the baton, and each and every one of you said, one, just one. In this new year, I am going to pray for, I'm going to speak to somebody, I'm going to share God's love with just one person. I'm going to see one person come to Jesus. Just one person. Do you see the multiplication effect that would happen if just one person began to do that? I believe that by going to two services, we're preparing for more to come and experience life change. So here's the deal. Here's where we're going with this morning. If it's such an important mission, it's imperative that we prepare ourselves spiritually for what is ahead, right? We need to be, because some of you are like, I really don't feel prepared for this, man. This is kind of heavy at the beginning of the year. Can we just kind of ease into this? But I want to help you prepare. You see, if we want to go and be effective with the gospel, we must first grow deeply in God. So, how does one grow in their spiritual faith journey? I may have shared this story with you before, but I'm going to repeat it. I grew up in a church similar to this, and I went to youth camps, and I went to the youth conventions in the church I grew up in. And I just remember going to these events, especially youth camp, and it just being such a incredibly spiritual high moment. How many of you have had moments like that, whether it's youth camp or you just had just an incredible experience with God and you're like, I don't ever want to come down from this mountaintop. And then I come home and it just all of a sudden, it just a gradual decline in my faith journey. And I would just be back in that same place where I was before. And I would go back to camp or I'd go back to youth convention and all of a sudden, I would just get all excited and then the decline. How many of you can relate to that? And it just kind of like got to the question, like, what's the use? What is the use except one year? My junior year, I went to youth camp and the speaker was talking about that very same thing. And he says, aren't you just kind of tired of it? I'm like, yeah, I'm tired of it. I don't want to live my faith journey like this. He says, if you're tired of living your faith journey up and down, I want you to come to this special meeting on this next day. So I went to this special meeting, and there's a pretty good crowd. About one-third of the group was there, and they introduced me to something. something I had never been taught. I had maybe have seen it with my parents, but I had never been taught how to have a daily connection time with God. In that session, I learned how to have a daily prayer time with God. In that time, I learned how that I can, you know, how I can read God's word on a daily basis. And so what I did is I went home, and that year I started to pray. I found myself praying more like I had learned at camp. I began to just study God's word. I didn't always understand everything that I was reading, but I just made it a daily discipline in my life. And then as school started, I noticed something different. I noticed that I was beginning to think differently. I was beginning to act differently. I remember kids coming up to me and saying, "There's something different about you." Look at what I was wearing, make sure. "There's something different about you." And I had the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. My life changed because of applying spiritual disciplines to my life. And I just believe that year, you know what that year was like? That year was like, you know, if you ever seen a form that is a frame for pouring cement. A frame was set, and the cement was poured in, and it built for me right there a foundation for my faith for where I am today. And it just, all of a sudden, it just was no more of this, but it just seemed like there was growth. There was growth. There's growth. I always want my life to be a life of growth. How many of you are with me? In order to have spiritual growth in your life, you've got to put yourself into position. Everybody say, into position. You have got to put yourself into position for spiritual growth. So I want to talk about three really important things that you can do for spiritual growth. Are you ready for that? I mean, this is like a really important word to give at the first of the year. Please, grasp this morning. If you're following your notes, first of all, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to grow in your connection with God through prayer. Check out what the Gospel of Luke says about how Jesus spent his time. This is interesting. He says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and..." He often withdrew to lonely places and he... Now, Jesus, if you look in your history book or you go to Google this, you will discover that Jesus is by far the most famous and the most influential person who ever lived, who ever existed on this earth. And some 2,000 years later, there are well over 2.4 billion followers and counting. Some 2,000 years. So we have the Son of God who's come to earth, and he's doing ministry, but then he's like, "Hey guys, I'll be back later." There's even one passage that's kind of bothersome to me. It says that even while it was still dark, that means it was super early in the morning, Jesus got up and he went to a solitary place to pray. How many of you, that bothers you a little bit? Because that challenge is like, "Oh man, I gotta get up earlier. Oh man." Think about it. Jesus, the most influential person who ever lived, took time away to pray. Jesus took time away to pray often. It wasn't just like, you know, "Man, I haven't prayed in like 2 weeks here. I got to do..." It was often. I believe it was a regular basis. He would seclude himself. He would get away from the distractions of life, of ministry, and others to connect with God. Why do we have to pray? First of all, we pray to demonstrate our dependence. Well, he prayed for his dependence on God. He was dependent on God for his strength that he had to seek spiritual strength and to maintain his vital, loving relationship with God. Jesus knew that if he was going to go change the world, he would first have to live in daily connection with God. If you are going to take this great commission seriously, and you are going to go and you're going to change your office, you're going to change your workplace, change your neighborhood, you've got to be living in connection with God. You cannot save anyone on your own. Tell your neighbor that. So you can't save anybody. What? You can't save anybody. And look at your other neighbors and neither can you. We can't save anybody. Listen to this passage here, John 15:5. Jesus tells us this same thing. He's giving a comparable. He says, I am the vine, talking about himself, I am the vine, and you are the branches. In other words, everything that's happening spiritually and in your life, it comes from me. I'm working in you, and I'm working through you. Write that down. I'm working in you, and I'm working through you. Then he says, whoever abides, everybody say abides. Abides. The word abide means to live in connection with somebody. It's not like break away, come together. Break away, come together. Abide is I'm living like this. I'm living in daily connection. That's what that word means. He says, if anyone abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, it's only through abiding in Jesus that we become spiritually impactful to our world. You know, I worked for this organization a few years ago called Corporate Chaplains of America, and we learned this principle called abiding evangelism. Abiding evangelism. And he just talked about this very same principle that through abiding in him, living in daily connection with God, we can't help but tell others about Jesus. So why does prayer matter? First of all, it builds our relationship and trust with God. Understand this. This is all about relationship. Everybody say relationship. God doesn't want your religion. God doesn't want your religion. He wants to have a relationship with you. But how can you have a relationship with somebody you don't talk to? How can you have a relationship with somebody that you're not listening to? It's relationship. Second of all, it aligns our hearts with God's will. Because I'll tell you something, I got this thing called my will. And I always want to do what I want to do. But whenever I go into a time of prayer, I pray the most dangerous prayer ever, Lord, let your will be done. And all of a sudden, I'm just beginning to say, Lord, I wanted this, but Lord, above all, I want your will to be done. But then also, you know what it does? When I'm beginning to pray, all of a sudden, a boldness begins to rise up within me, and I feel I begin to notice people. I begin to discern where people are at in their faith journey. I just feel more of a boldness to go just connect and talk with people. You see, prayer brings us back to the reality. Here's the reality. Without him in our lives, we cannot do anything to impact our world. Don't try to do, here's my point, don't try to do ministry alone. Because you will have zero impact. Zero impact. So here's, talking about prayer. Here's what you need to know. Here's some application steps for you. If you're thinking about starting a daily prayer life, there's two things that you must have. Write these things down. It's really important. Write these down. Two things you must have. Two things you must find. All right? Two things you must find. First of all, you need to find the time, and you need to find the place. Find the time and find the place. Well, some of you are like, I don't have time in the morning. Guess what? You know what the Lord convicted of me when I was in high school? I noticed I did not have time to have this time with God, and the only solution was to get up earlier. Oh, some of you like, you just lost me. Oh, my gosh. This was going so well until you told me that. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not really good at getting up earlier. Sorry. I have a hard time getting up as it is for the normal time. You're going to have to get up earlier. You're going to have to find the time. Second of all, you're going to need to find the place. Find the time, find the place. Find the time. So my time that I set aside on a regular basis is I get up earlier in the morning. It used to be where I used to get up at, what, back in the day, 6:30 in the morning, because I felt convicted, because I normally got up at 7, but then I got up at 6:30, and then it wasn't enough time. And then I started getting up at 6. I know you're not going to like this, and I started to get up at 5:30 in the morning. Does life even exist at 5:30 in the morning? And now I get up at 5 so that I can have my time with God. I find a time, and I find a place. And my place where I have my connection time with God is I got to be moving. So it is either outside walking. It's just a little too cold this morning. I'm sorry. I just didn't do it this morning. But it's typically walking outside through my neighborhood. My neighbors will constantly see me walking by their house, talking to myself, so they think, that guy's crazy. He's always talking. And every once in a while, he's got his hands raised up. I'm on my treadmill. I'm talking. You see, I feel like I found my time and I found my place. What is your time and what is your place? And a lot of people, I wish I had more time to talk about this, but a lot of times people are like, well, I don't know what to say. That's one of the biggest reasons why people don't pray, is they don't know what to say. Can I just challenge you right now to take the growth track? Take the growth track, and you will learn about that principle, what God wants to talk about. And then when we're talking about prayer, I want to remind you that things happen when we pray. Things happen when people come together and they pray. And that's why I want to challenge you next Sunday night that there's going to be a prayer night here at the church at 6 o'clock. The second most important thing that you can do for your spiritual growth is to grow in your understanding of truth, God's Word. God's Word. In Matthew 4, Jesus, he hasn't started his ministry yet. He's just about to launch his ministry. But he's in the wilderness, and he's fasting, and he's being tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread. And he was trying to convince Jesus that food was his biggest need. But Jesus responded like this. He says, people do not live by bread alone, by food, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus will say, hey, listen, Satan, I know what you're trying to do. You're playing to my flesh, trying to tell me that my biggest need is my physical need. But I want you to know right now, my biggest need is my spiritual need. I need the Spirit. I need the Spirit for my soul more than I need food for my body. In other words, spiritual growth and reliance on God's will are more important than our physical desires. Why growing in God's Word matters? First of all, it renews your mind through understanding. Romans 12:2 talks about being transformed, renewing by your mind. You see, how many of you realize we live in a world that's really dark? And there are daily temptations, and our minds, after a period of time, they become warped. They just, like, when it's just too much. How many of you have ever been to that place like, oh, it's too much? Oh, my goodness. But when we get into God's Word, it begins to renew our minds. It begins to, like, wait a second. That is false. This is truth. And what he does is he gives us, when we get into God's Word, he gives us these things that are really important. He gives us wisdom, and he gives us this thing called understanding for how to live our lives. Second of all, the reason why we get into God's Word is it equips you to answer questions about your faith. You see, listen, if we are going to go into the world and tell the world about Jesus, how many of you believe it's really important to know what you believe? Listen to me. You can't just go off of what your pastor's saying every Sunday morning. That's not living out a faith journey. That's called religion. But you need to understand. It's like you need to understand, wow, that is true. God's Word really does say that. We need to know. We need to be equipped. Third thing we need, it produces faith inside of us. You see, we discover in God's Word these things called stories. And we see where God did impossible things. And but we also see in God's Word that, wait a second, He's alive today. And that same God who did things back then, He can do today. Well, my goodness, that builds my faith. I can trust and believe that God is working. So some people are like, well, okay, Pastor, where do I go to start reading in the Bible? If you are new at reading the Bible, I would not recommend starting at the beginning, okay? I would not start there if you're new. If you've been in faith journey for a while, yeah, move on to go to the beginning of the Bible. But if you're new, and this is what, I discovered this source called soap. I don't know if these were passed out this morning. Did you get these in your in your packet? We have them at the Connect Center when you go out. But I discovered this tool, and I discovered this in my faith journey. You're never going to be disciplined in reading the Word every day until you have a reading plan. And what this is a reading plan. And so what you do is you go out and you get yourself a journal, small journal like this, okay? Small journal, and you just need to write some things down. It sticks more when you write things down. The second of all is you need to find a Bible, and you need to not read it. Whatever you do, and this next thing I'm about to tell you, don't read your Bible. Study it. How many of you know there's a difference? When you read your Bible, dude, I don't even know what I just read. But you know what? I did what Pastor told me to, and I read my Bible for today. Check. Right? That's what happens. Right? But when you study, all of a sudden, no. When you're studying, you're looking for something. God has something in His Word for me today. And I'm going to study God's Word. And then the third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take my journal. I'm going to write it down. Just one page. Maybe one paragraph. I'm going to write it down. But what soap does, first of all, we give you a Bible reading plan to read for the month. We are starting today, and I'm challenging you, and we're going to challenge the church to a 21 days of prayer and fasting, that we are going to read through the book of John in these 21 days. 21 chapters. And what we're going to do is we're going to discover this Jesus guy. What was he all about? And so the SOAP stands for Scripture. So what you do is you just take the Scripture and you just write down the one that speaks to you the most, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I just write it out. Something happens when I'm writing it out. I remember. And then O stands for observation. What is it that catches my attention about this Scripture verse? A stands for application. Again, this is all on one page here, just one page. Application. What do I feel like God is telling me for my life? Or how should I apply this to my life? And then P stands for prayer. God, will you just, I just write it out. God, will you help me to live this out, this principle? Help this to stick. Is this helpful? Is this helpful for you? So, to learn more about Bible reading plan, I just want to encourage you, go to Growth Track. Have I brought up the idea of going to Growth Track yet? Go to Growth Track to find out. The third most important thing that you can do for spiritual growth is to grow in spiritual strength through fasting. Some of you are just like, why does he use those words? Can he say something else? Fasting. Isn't it interesting? Before Jesus started his ministry, check out what he did. Matthew 4:1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, and he became very hungry. How many of you can relate to that very hungry part? Some of you are like, it's been 40 minutes. And I'm hungry, very hungry, very hungry. Isn't it interesting? Before he starts his ministry, he recognizes, I'm going to need strength for this. I'm going to need power for this. I'm going to need to be super connected with God for what he has in store for me. And so what happened is this time away, what it did is it strengthened him for what was ahead. And I just see here that if Jesus took time away like he did for prayer, and if he took time away for fasting to strengthen himself through prayer and fasting, if we are taking the baton, shouldn't we prepare ourselves as well? In fact, Jesus expects you to fast. Did you know that? Jesus expects that from us. In Matthew 6:17, Jesus is talking to his disciples. I believe it's in verse 17 and 18. Jesus is looking ahead at his disciples, and he's giving them some instructions. And he says this phrase, he says, but when you fast, says it twice, when you fast, in other words, it was an expectation. It was necessary. It was a way of life. It was commonplace. It was commonplace back then. And if you look at the three world religions, the most popular ones, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity, you will find fasting as a spiritual principle in all of this. Isn't that interesting? Fasting is this. Here's how I define fasting. To intentionally give up something that you really like for a season in exchange for something that you really need. To intentionally give up something that you really like for something that you really need. It's not about earning God's favor or proving spiritual strength. It's about creating space to listen, pray, and realign with God. And when you look throughout Scripture, you'll see fasting showing up all over the place. You'll see in moments of dependence, where they were depending on God. God, we need you. We need a miracle. It was times of repentance. God, forgive us. And it was also for times of breakthrough. So why is fasting such a big deal? I'll do this quickly. Fasting matters because it develops humility and dependence on God. In a world of constant noise and self-indulgence, fasting is a way to say, God, you're my priority. In this past year, I've gotten my priorities mixed up, and God, for now on, I'm going to take a season here, and I'm just going to reposition you as priority in my life. Second of all, it resets the priorities. We become so distracted with the things of the world, but Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek me first. Number three, it deepens in awareness and hunger for God. You see, when we fast, we begin to crave the things that we've surrendered. We become hungry. God wants to teach us to hunger after Him. You know, at that time, you haven't had a meal and you get hungry. And like, yeah, I'm hungry. I could really need Him. God is saying, that's what I want from you, to be hungry for me. It breaks spiritual strongholds. In Mark chapter 9, the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of this man, and they couldn't, it wasn't happening. And Jesus comes along and is like, yeah, what's going on here? And like, yeah, we were prayed and nothing happens. And Jesus, boom, sets the demon free. And they're like, what did we do wrong? And he was saying there's sometimes that there's only breakthroughs that come through prayer and fasting. Maybe some of you are in need of a breakthrough in your life right now. Maybe the big stronghold, the thing that's holding you up is you need to take that next step, that spiritual principle of fasting. It develops self-control by confronting comfort, dependency, impulsiveness. You know what this is? Our body craves so many things: entertainment, food, caffeine, just whatever. And this is our way of saying, you know what? The time out here. Time out. Everybody do that right now. Time out. Time out. No, 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 no. You don't control me. I control you. Boy, if you get anything out of this message, get that about fasting. I'm tired of you always telling me what I need and that will make me happy. No, 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 no. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. It's linked to repentance and realignment. It creates space for clarity. It begins to sharpen our focus. You'll notice that as you just set aside those things, all of a sudden you get a clarity of God. Today, as I said before, we're declaring for Thrive Church a season of prayer and fasting. 21 days. I challenge you. 21 days that you will surrender and pursue. Surrender and pursue. I'm going to surrender the things that I depend on the most. Maybe that's food, sugar, soda. I'm going to step on some toes here, so be careful. Coffee, caffeine. I'm going to surrender a meal. I'm going to surrender a day of meals. I'm going to surrender a week. This is between you and the Lord. Okay, this is not a religious thing. This is a relationship thing. Maybe you do thing as something that I'm doing. We're doing something like this called a Daniel fast, where it's just only whole foods, or fruits and vegetables, no sugar, no dairy, cutting out all those things. Some of you, the thing that you need to shut off is your phone, right? Some of you, you need to shut off your social media. Your Instagram, your Facebook, your TikTok. Some of you need to shut off the video games. Seriously. You need to get out of the basement. Stop playing the video games. Some of you need to shut off your Netflix or your Hulu account. Some of you, you need to get out of Amazon. Stay out of Amazon here. Whatever it is. Listen to me. I'm almost done here. Here's what you think of fasting. When you think of fasting, think of fasting as the method to starve the idols in your life. I'm going to starve the idols. The idols have got to go. And I challenge you, instead of focusing on what you're giving up, if you're not careful, you're going to fail because you're focusing on what you're giving up. Oh, man. You're so focused. If you would just take your focus on what you're giving up and put your focus on who you're pursuing. Take your focus off what you're giving up and focus on who you're pursuing. All right, I've gone enough here. Here's my last thought. We're talking about going deeper in our faith journey. And here's what I know. Because the Bible shows us this in Acts chapter 2, about the Acts 2 church. When the church grows deeper, in our faith journey, it goes farther. Let me say it one more time. When the church grows deeper, the church goes farther. And that's our theme for this year, is we're going to go. We're going to go. But we got to start off by growing. There needs to be some growing that takes place in our spiritual journey. Amen? I hope that this was helpful for you. I hope, my prayer, is what I share with you this morning, is that moment that I had as a teenager at youth camp. That this is the moment that no more, no. This year I'm taking this Great Commission seriously. I'm going to go. But I know I got to grow. So if you're here this morning, and you say, Pastor, I want to grow so that I can go. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to stand. Don't stand if you don't mean it. This year, I'm going to grow so that I can go. Go ahead. I'm going to grow. No more of the ups and downs. It's time to grow so that I can go and do what God has called me to do. In Jesus' name, Lord, there's people all around this room sincerely standing and say, God, no more of the roller coaster. I know you got a plan and a purpose for my life. And I want to live that out to the fullest. So Lord, I'm committing to these 21 days. I pray that you would just convict me of those things that need to be surrendered so that I can pursue more of you. And God, I just pray spiritual growth all around this room right now. I pray spiritual impact on the 715 area code and beyond. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen. Can we just give God praise today? Thank you, Lord. God, grow us. God, grow us. Blessings on you and the new year. Blessings on you. We are selling these sweatshirts if you're interested at the Connect Center. Blessings on you.